You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, and we are also part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. I'm Wole, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Jeezy. What's going on, Ray?
Hey, it's been a while, bro. What's going
on? It's basically like Happy New Year on the show, right? For us two.
For the show.
No for the doubt. Show. But you don't mean for the show. I mean, we said our happy 24s. Non-recording.
And the homie Lou already checked in. Light-skinned brothers hold down each other all the time.
I know, man. My it's man, real. Lou. What's up, my dude, Lou?
Yeah, like what's y'all, good, yeah. Lou?
Lou's just family. Don't try to just put that on light-skinned brothers. Lou's just family.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Sport fit, it's a brotherhood. But I'm just saying, the lack of melanin makes a difference for us, bro. It did. And you see Mahomes back in the Super Bowl.
Bro, I need you to watch the pivot with Michael Porter Jr. and how him and Shannon Crowder were going at it about light-skinned dudes. Like, not going at it. They were in a brotherhood with light-skinned dudes. That thing was hilarious. Hey, I need you to check it out. Check it out.
How you going to reference another podcast, though?
I don't care, bro. That thing is funny.
Dude, hit me up, man. I'm going to be a free agent soon, bro. Hey. You see my man, he watching another podcast. How you going to do that?
Dude, I give love to everybody, bro. I share love. I'm not into that whole thing. I mean, if something's good, something's good, bro. You know, Lou saw that joint.
And Lou said he saw it. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on,
that joint. Hey, Lou, that thing hilarious, man. How, dog, Ray, you guys see it. That was a light-skinned showcase at its finest for y'all, man. It showed you how, like,
we winning all day long.
I know. I ain't saying you winning. I ain't saying all that. Like, I ain't saying that. I'm just saying that was some light skin stuff. That's all I'm saying. I ain't.
Hey, do your thing, brother. Y'all got a new coach. Y'all fans out here.
Go ahead, man. Anyway, I'm going to get into the particulars. We're going to talk about Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN, Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search The Urban Sports.
Sorry, I had to do it. That's right.
Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, no doubt. And before I move on, John Kime has been on this coach hiring for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah,
he's had some great information. Go check him out. He's part of the Empire family. That's a brotherhood as well. Make sure you subscribe to Urban Sports and YouTube channel while you're here. Hit that like button. Also, check us out on X at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, my guy.
Hey, also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. All right, man, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. Founder of Seawall Sports and Entertainment and Bowie TV president / Commanders reporter Candy Waller will join us to talk about the Commanders hiring Dan Quinn as their head coach. Then finally, founder of Double Take Sports and Bowie TV, Baltimore Ravens reporter Karita Parks will join us to talk about the Ravens falling short of reaching the Super Bowl. This is like a Bowie TV Sports show, right? This is what it is. It's like a theme. We have that theme going on. We repping Bowie TV. Right,
yeah, we've been bougie today because we know Bowie is the one bougie spot that's left in people. I'm an Upper Marlboro.
I'm about to say, because Upper Marlboro been holding it down for bouginess for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, now.
And Candy's getting love already. Hey, Dujane, what's good? Dujane, I tuned in with you on Lake early, by the way. You called me well late, but it's okay because it was the Urban Sports Scene account that I was on. So I was like, I like it, brother. You still winning, like I said, man.
Oh, man. Anyway, man, right now we have founder of Seawall Sports and Entertainment and Bowie TV president / Commanders reporter Candy Waller on the show. What is going on, Candy?
Hey, y'all. How's everybody doing?
We good, man. This is an eventful day. Like, the streets are popping. The streets popping. Everybody talking about the Commanders coaching. They try and figure out what's going on. So, yeah, we here, man. Hey, Bowie's still bougie.
Hey, I know that's right.
Hey, man. Hey. I mean, rich folks are in Bowie. I ain't going to hold you.
Hey, you be on over there going to Smokey Bone, so you know all about
Bowie. Oh, I love Smokey Bone, bro. That's my spot. I love Smokey Bone. Their service is trash, though.
Okay.
It's trash.
There goes our endorsement deal.
I can't hold that one. That day service is off the
chart.
Hey,
Candy, you see my man Dujane said, "What's up, fam?"
Hey, Dujane, what's going on?
Look, man, you can't have me on the show and lie. I can't lie. You mentioned spoken.
No, it's so funny.
Hey, let's get to it, Candy, because you like the real insider. You trending. Candy on X.
Yeah. If y'all said it, then that I'm gonna take that as a compliment. That's legit.
We're out here. Look, my man. Look, Kevin, man. Smokey Bones. Yeah, they wings is dope. I ain't gonna hold you, but the service is trash. The wings are dope. Okay. There you are. Candy, you are out. The folks out here, they see you, Candy.
I told you, Candy. Candy look, is trending.
Man, Candy, you trending. Yo, this going crazy. Hold on. Hank, damn.
Even the Cowboys fan Lou said he got a lot to say about these commanders. They're not my commanders, Lou. They Wole's commanders. So we about to jump in though, because it's a mixed opinion, Candy. Some people think this was the last option. Others think that it was a thorough, well thought out plan by your new owner, Josh Harris. So go ahead, Candy, jump in.
You know, I'm going to tell you all, hey mom, we got to say hello to Mama Waller.
Got to before you start the show. Got to.
Okay, everybody knows I'm going to keep it authentic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be transparent. you know, I got to get all of my data, got to get all my facts. Mm-hmm. But here's where I want to start. I asked a question at the end of the Commanders regular season that was around, will the trust the process approach work in this space? Mm-hmm. Right? Trusting the process in the NBA, in the NHL space, still hasn't got you any championships, mm-hmm. but it has gotten you in competitive status in the playoffs, which is fine.
Yeah.
But does it really work in an NFL that thrives off of results-based, immediate, action.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. My challenge, and I was kind of shocked, right? Rapid but mm-hmm. thorough with Adam Peters. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. They pulled together an advisory team. All right.
Yeah.
You didn't have to pull together an advisory team to hire Dan Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's not right.
Yeah, that's true. You already know what he has. You know what he is. Yeah.
This becomes a, did trust in the process not work because you were against the clock uh-huh. in a league that operates very quickly?
Yeah.
If you had somebody you wanted, you should have locked them in uh-huh. before they left your building.
True.
That's
true.
Straight up.
Straight facts.
If that was okay.
Straight facts.
So if you spent a lot of time with Anthony Weaver on Monday, and it was publicly reported that they spent hours with him on Monday,
mm-hmm.
right? You let Mike McDonald walk out of your building on Monday. Mm-hmm. You still schedule interviews. You schedule interviews for Tuesday last week,
mm-hmm.
right? The Ravens lose. You scheduled them for Monday, right? Mm-hmm. Get those two out of the way. What's publicly reported is that you spent hours with one of them, right? Then you still travel to Detroit. You find out mid-air, one of your Detroit people say, I'm staying in Detroit. You still go ahead and interview the other one.
Mm-hmm.
You interviewed Dan Quinn earlier that morning before you even left for Detroit. I'm going to go back to the point of, if you knew who your person was, you don't let them leave your building.
Mm-hmm.
You can cancel your other, but you can cancel those, right?
Yeah.
It has now been publicly reported that they did, in fact, contact Bill Belichick.
Hmm.
I ain't mad at that. Go ahead.
Putting all the people, right?
I ain't mad at it either.
Did you really know who you wanted?
Mm.
Candy, are you taking the Commanders at face value? Are you taking them at face value?
I'm taking it at face value based on the timing.
Uh-huh.
Because this would lead me to believe, this is pure speculation based on timing, is you didn't really know where you wanted to go.
Uh-huh.
And you now are up against the clock. What you going to do? This Senior Bowl. Uh-huh. And none of the coaches... Because then none of the coaches are at Senior Bowl week because you don't have a head coach.
Yeah.
You just got scouts there. So I'm now like, okay, trusting the process might not work so well for you in this regard. Because if you knew who you wanted, you'd have just got them and you would have moved on.
Mm.
So perhaps there wasn't, because it was also publicly reported that there were some decision makers that were advocates for Bill Belichick. Okay, yeah, so, but not all. So then that means we have now potentially seen a situation where not everybody was on accord on who was going in which way. And you have to make a decision, and based on the pool, based on what you have, if you are looking for somebody, this is also something that did come to me. They were looking for somebody who had head coaching experience. And my caveat and my rebuttal to that was, okay, well, if that was the case, then you should have knocked out half of your list. And that goes back to my very first point is you didn't need an advisory council to get that. You know what I'm saying? If we're already building on, you want somebody with head coaching experience. Okay, well, then that knocks out the majority of your list then. I'm not saying, I've been like, that was not an advocate for Dan Quinn. But one of the things that I also said was, hey, it's still a no for me. I don't care what the survey says, but it's great feedback on
him. Yeah, yeah.
It's very positive feedback on Dan Quinn. Let me be clear. That may have been my opinion, and it still is.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of great feedback on him. And you all spoke of John Kime, our lovely and amazing Commanders media colleague.
You just as dope. Go ahead.
Continue. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're just as dope. You keep that a buck.
All right. Thank
you. Go ahead. Continue though.
But he posted the NFLPA survey from this year where players rated, coordinators, and Dan Quinn was 3 out of defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
So I'm going to always, you all know, to the point of keeping it a buck, I'm going to give you my opinion, but I'm also be fair and objective, right? No, not my 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 pick. And it might have been not their 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 pick either. But here we are.
Someone there's an access comments. There's some good comments out here for real.
Was that too much? Was that
No. You were good. No, you were real good. No,
that's amazing. I mean, folks in the comments loving you right now.
Yeah, they
and
are.
The interesting part about it, that's why I asked you, did you take it for face value? Because I feel like, in a way, as much as Harris has his great reputation, I feel like he's trying to separate himself from Dan. Let's put together a search committee. And that will appease the fans. Like, we got professional folks in the building now. We have a good structured front office. But you like,
why you need a whole search committee for this? You already knew what you wanted. I mean, it's really simple. I get it to a degree. But my point is the timing, and this goes back to trust the process approach. What you thought, somebody was going to wait for you? They're not sitting around waiting on a call. They're not going to wait on your call, evidently.
Yeah.
Right? But for you to jump and interview the Ravens coaches, still keep with the Detroit Lions, you still continue to interview. You went through all of them. And hey, perhaps you were just kind of like, we just going to go, you know, we good with whatever, or whoever. That could have had that approach as well. We good with whoever. And so whatever we get, we get. But that's kind of like throwing up, you know, a deck of cards and being like, well, whichever one fall right here, I'm just going to pick it up and roll with it. Which is troubling as well, because you didn't need a committee to do that. You need a committee to do that. Now, what also makes me wonder is, was it too many people on the committee?
True. So it's wild. It's a wild situation. So for me, I'm with you. Like, he wasn't my top. Like, I had other dudes that was my top. Like, I had Bobby Slowick. I had McDonald.
Right.
Those are like my two. My thing with like Dan Quinn. I like the Dan Quinn hire. I'm not against it. It's all about his offense, the staff he brings in offensively, because Ray can talk about him too. Cause Ray was an Atlanta Falcons fan. Ray is an Atlanta Falcons fan. And Ray had Dan Quinn over there in Atlanta. And one thing I like about Dan Quinn, and he built the Legion of Boom. Like, he is one of the architects of the Legion of Boom. And he had a good defense there in Atlanta too, with some of the guys they drafted. And they went to a Super Bowl. So there are good things that I like about Dan Quinn that matches up to what we need. And I feel like what this team needs on the defensive side of football. But again, they need to bring in a staff. It's not about, to me, if you're saying fix the defense, I think Dan Quinn can fix the defense. I'm a believer in that. But the most important thing, and it's like my man Paul said, the most important thing is the staff. Like, you need to bring a guy in who knows offense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There are guys out there that rumor like, Clint Kubiak, who is Gary Kubiak's son, who everybody knows about Kubiak. He's the one that pretty much taught Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan was in Houston. He's the one who taught Kyle Shanahan. And Clint Kubiak is under Kyle Shanahan right now. So if that's a guy that I've heard rumored to be on this staff, if you can get a guy like that compared with his defensive knowledge, it's not what fans wanted, but it's what they need. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like what he brings to the table, like folks have said, oh, Emmanuel Forbes is a bum. He's a bust. He, to me, instantly is going to improve Emmanuel Forbes. Mm-hmm. He's going to instantly improve a guy like Jamin Davis. Like, because he's going to have them play an aggressive style. Mm-hmm. You watch the Dallas Cowboys defense. And there's some guys out there that on other teams, we would be like, nah, but they playing their butts off with Dallas. They've been effective. So, to me, I know he ain't the sexy pick. But when you break down him as for that unit, that defensive unit, I think it works. The most important thing, though, is for him to build that offense, get an offensive stack. Right. I think defensively, he's going to be fine. If he can bring in Al Harris with him, he's already brought Witt. He's going to work the defensive passing game. But if he can bring in Al Harris with him, I think it works. But again, it works only if he brings in good offensive guys. If he brings in, there's a rumor I saw on my phone. There's a rumor about bringing Chip Kelly. He bringing Chip Kelly. That's wrong. That's all. Then he's already messing up, in my opinion. Yeah. So it's all about who he brings in on the offensive side of the football.
This will be interesting. I mean, it's definitely not. I mean, we had our list. Bowie TV had our list. We had Mike McDonald first. We had Frank Smith, I think, was second, and then we had Ben Johnson. Right. And so as things started warming up, everybody knows my colleague, teammate Karita Parks is on the ground for Bowie TV with the Ravens.
We'll have her on later too.
And what
good plug.
So you know me.
I think I should do that.
So I had to say we got the Anthony Weaver news first.
Yeah.
And then I was like, whoa. Oh, okay. They interviewing Anthony Weaver. That's kind of what I said. Then it was Mike McDonald. I'm like, all right, because this was right before their bye week, so they could do the virtual interviews. Mm-hmm. That's when I started saying, let me pay attention to this. Yeah. And then we went back and we looked at the lines. Okay, they might be looking at Aaron Glenn as well. So we were kind of like, okay, we're warm, you know, but maybe we're looking at the wrong people because it's not the popular names per se. Mm-hmm. Aaron Glenn was not on our list at all, right? Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, you know, I was scarred by Super Bowl 51. I didn't know you were a Falcons fan. I'm not. And I'm gonna tell y'all, that was my first Super Bowl as a fan. I did Super Bowl week as a fan. I did that game. Uh-huh. That was traumatic. And I'm gonna tell, and I'm not a Falcons fan. Okay, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what to be happy or sad or cry. I was like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. We have to talk about that later, that whole experience. But I just feel like maybe it's me. Like, maybe I'm the problem in this situation because I would look at Dan Quinn-led, not coordinator-led.
Yeah.
Head coach-led, and I would always say the Falcons never recovered. They could never recover.
I want to ask.
I mean, it was just that devastating.
Yeah,
that's where I'm concerned from a head coach perspective.
Yeah, I do want to ask Ray. That's a good segue. So Ray, again, I mentioned earlier, you're a Falcons fan. You had Dan Quinn in the building, man. What are your thoughts, man? What were your thoughts when he was there, and what were your thoughts after, and when he went to Dallas, and your thoughts about him now? Mm-hmm.
I really believe that Dan Quinn. I agree with Kenny, you didn't need a search party to find him. but at the same time, it's not his fault with the organization. Process was in this coaching search. However, in terms of gathering the locker room and having the players all on the same page, I think he's the perfect guy. If you looked at him in Atlanta, Todd Gurley wasn't in Atlanta for a long time. Todd Gurley was somebody who was your fantasy running back. Well, he was that dude. and unfortunately, him coming to Atlanta, he was on a decline. He was on the downside. Dan Quinn gave him a shot, and he loved Dan Quinn. Matt Ryan loved Dan Quinn. Deion Jones as a linebacker who many thought wasn't going to be that good in the league. Dan Quinn made him a Pro Bowler.
Yeah,
many think that Jamin Davis can have that same result under a Dan Quinn-led team. I know that Michael Parsons has a ton of talent, but he had to be put in the right position. We know coaching matters, guys. This Commanders team last season had a ton of talent, but they weren't put in the right position by a defensive coordinator, and for that reason alone, they didn't succeed. For a multitude of reasons. But anyway, Dan Quinn is somebody who the players are going to love, and that's great for your locker room. So automatically, that's a culture shift. And we know this franchise desperately needs a culture shift in many ways. So I think he's going to be a player's coach. All the players love him. Thomas Dimitro, that cost him his job in Atlanta. He could have fired Dan Quinn in order to keep his job. But he went down with him. Went down with him because they all believed in him that much. And I believe that Michael Parsons was the one that tweeted out earlier. I think it was Jahan Dotson that joked with Michael, like, you coming with us now because you say I'm going to have to go with Dan when he leaves. Yeah. So you know that the players are going to love him. If the players don't like him, then that's when you're going to have to start shipping guys out at this point. Because then you know it's not EB. It's these guys that are currently on the roster that are struggling to deal with guys that want to change your culture so you can be successful. So Dan Quinn's going to come and he's going to do that. And I believe he's going to make some guys better who are maybe Jags, as they say, just average guys. He's going to make them better. And I believe that offensively and defensively, just off the fact they're going to play harder, it's going to make them a better football team.
I do want to read a comment before we go to the next question. Pearl,
Penn, yeah, Atlanta's defense
sports said now who's the perfect guy that guy they're going to bring in to help develop Caleb Williams or Drake May? Because if you miss out on a solid OC being the last team to get one, why go with a defensive minded head coach? Candy, I'm gonna let you answer that.
This is my whole point about trust the process. Right? This goes back to my point about the trust the process approach and whether or not that strategy works in this space. For those very same things, you got to, hey, just like you did a rapid but thorough process with Adam Peters, you went out and got your guy. You needed to be aggressive and hot with this. You needed your staff at Senior Bowl.
That's true. I agree with that.
And so you need to move unless who you wanted was still playing football, which ultimately, I guess they weren't. So what are we doing here? What really happened behind those scenes? Because you could have made this decision sooner if this was the case. Now, I'm a kind of person, Ray, and we'll let y'all know this about me. And I saw a comment that was like they were 10-6 the next season.
Yeah.
I'm not a regular season champion kind of girl.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff does not impress me. So that's nice. That's cute. But I always say, who do you want to be when you grow up? At any age, who do you want to be when you grow up? So if it, what's the goal? What is their metric of success? I mean, 4-13 ain't hard to beat, right? So are you going to be satisfied with going 500? Are you going to be satisfied with just making the playoffs? What you doing? You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, who do you want to be? You know, and exactly. Well, then I'm seeing other, you know, they might be bringing more staff from the Cowboys. I was like, oh, dude, here we go. You know, the Commanders about to turn into the Cowboys now.
Don't do that Noah Turner stuff. Go ahead, though. You're right. Go ahead. But
it's like, it really became, now, again, not a bad pick. It just wasn't mine. You know what I mean? But is it going to be a better situation than what was previously? Yes. I think everybody can agree on that. Yes. It was just interesting how it all went down just for it to be Dan Quinn in the end.
Candy, do you think this is worse than Jim Zorn, the way this played out? Because remember, Jim Zorn was supposed to be.
Oh, it's not that bad. Don't be dirty. That's not that bad. No, it definitely ain't that bad. It definitely ain't that bad. I ain't gonna hold you.
I get your real thoughts.
Bro, that ain't that bad. It ain't that hard. I'm sorry.
I will say that the offensive coordinator piece, I mean, the whole staff piece is like, what is happening here? Like, what is going on? And it's the situation you are where we're really not going to know until next year. You know, that's where I'm at with it. Even when it comes to draft, and they always have us, you know, do draft grades, do coach grades, you know, this, that, the third. And I'm at a place where it's like, yeah, we could do it for formality because that's what we do as media folks. You know, we got to do the draft grades, but really, you really won't know your return on the investment until you get to the end of the following year, and then seeing how that moves as time goes on. That's all you can do. It can't be worse
than
what everybody watched in Commanders football.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's worse than that. Yeah, that's my thing. It can't get any worse than what we've seen. And to Ray's point, and I think, like, you look at Dan Quinn in Atlanta, I think he's 40. His record as head coach is 43 and 42. Uh-huh. He's a guy, like, he started off. I mean, I'm going to give him credit for real. Like, he started off in Atlanta 8-8 off the rip. And then his first 3 years, he's pretty efficient as a head coach, including taking his team to the Super Bowl. And then, like, folks said, he's like, obviously, the 10-6 year, they had a different offensive coordinator because Kyle wasn't there anymore. And they had Stark, right? Right? They had Stark. Sarkisian. Right? Yeah, they had Stark. So I'm like, to me, like, going to even a change, especially as good as Kyle is, going through a change, having a new OC and still be able to. I believe they got upset in the game. I forgot who they lost to.
No, they lost to Philly in the playoffs.
Yeah, Philly. Like, yeah, exactly. The year Philly went to Super Bowl.
They scored maybe 10 points, but they held Philly. Yeah. They held Philly down that game.
Yeah, that's the year Philly went to Super Bowl. That's what year Philly won the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, like after that year, he went 79-79, I believe, the following two seasons. But he's still, in my opinion, like, if you look at his body of work as a head coach, you could do much worse. Like, you know what I mean? Like, now I've made the argument in the past. Like, I made the argument, like, why I felt like it's funny how, like, folks have kind of crapped on Bill Belichick. And I'm like, I get why people don't like Bill Belichick, because, like, he wants power. But I'm like, if you strip Bill Belichick away from power, like, he's still one of the best coaches of all time. Like, you take away this power and say, like, you can't shop for the groceries. I would rather have a Bill Belichick than a Dan Quinn. Like, I ain't gonna hold you. Like, I would rather have a Bill Belichick than Dan Quinn. But again,
well, I see that, though, because of his success at
the because he's Bill Belichick. And the problem with Bill Belichick is he has power. He has too much power. He's like the Ron Rivera situation. He's at this point in time in his life, he shouldn't have all the power at this point in time. But if you're telling me, can he coach up players on defense? Yeah, because the players he have on defense aren't talented. He's coached that up. He's able to beat a Buffalo team with limited talent. He's that type of coach. But I'm not against me saying I like Bill Belichick more. Like, same thing like you, Candy. Me saying I like Bill Belichick more than Dan Quinn is not a knock on Dan Quinn, because I still think I see what you can do with Dan Quinn to make this team a good team. Because
I be honest?
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
When I first saw that they hired Dan Quinn, I had a similar reaction to Candy. In addition to a thought that this new stadium better be nice and they better put the blueprints out, they better get these fans engaged, because this is not moving the needle.
No, it's not sexy. Personally. I agree. It's not sexy.
Considering that you had Bob Myers, you had all these people in the room, you took forever.
I agree.
Again, I think they're not being transparent, even though according to all the folks that we trust in media, they're saying, well, they didn't panic when guys started dropping off. Well, I think you did. You had to, like Candy said. You got a time.
And remember, the timing doesn't make sense to me, because if that was the case, you would have just got if that was who you wanted from the jump.
That I'm is not saying Dan Quinn ain't a good coach.
It's what I mean? And I'm not saying it exactly, but it's just.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me, because even it's too. I mean, I text Karita. We were all a little distraught about the Ravens. Like, oh my god, I can't believe they just lost this game. And then I got a text. I was like, "Oh, they're interviewing Weaver and McDonald tomorrow." I said, "They still in press conferences? Hold on, what? Like, they already scheduled interviews with these people for Monday when they had interviews scheduled on Tuesday? Like, what are we doing here?" And so that's why I started thinking, "Camp haven't proved it, whatever." Like, okay, they want one of them. Right?
Taj, wow, man. Taj is wild, bro.
I know. I saw that jerk. Taj is going. I know, man. I'm seeing it. Go ahead, kid. Go, Candy. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying if they still weren't thinking about it, if they didn't want either one of them, then why did you jump?
Yeah, I'm with it. Can we can talk about this all day?
We can talk about this all day, because
The comments are jumping. But we're about to have somebody else on talking about the Ravens. So I'm trying to get their fair check. Yeah, I'm trying to get their fair shot too.
Look, this is the state of Maryland. Did y'all see my post earlier? I said that the state of Maryland is in shambles, and this is before the Dan Quinn news was public. I was like, man, this is sad. I'm calling the governor.
I said, might as well.
Maryland is not in good shape.
I call it a buoy. I call it a buoy TV. A buoy TV show. So I might as well just jump her into it too.
Man. See,
might as well, bro. Like real talk. Hey. Well. What we doing here? I might as well, bro. Like you know what I'm saying.
I mean,
well.
I don't want to get into her time, so you can jump me out. But
yeah,
hey,
I will. I might as well, man.
Before you go,
hey girl.
Before you go, I want to get your thoughts real quick because I feel like they played it too cool. Like the Harbaugh brothers should be in Maryland, both of them. For real, you should have do everything you could to do
know,
to bro. Be in Maryland.
I'm a Michigan really fan. I would love that dude to be in the building. Today. You already know what
but instead, like, now nah, we're going to form a search committee and we're going to sit back. We're going to evaluate. We're going to do this the right way. And then you end up with Dan Quinn. And even though I'm not hating on him, Lou, I like Dan Quinn, but still, bro. Like, hey, Candy's on point tonight. Pass the collection. Hey, Karita, go ahead. You can bless us at the end. You know what I'm saying? Because that was
help. I don't think I helped Commanders fans. You may not be able to help Ravens fans.
I won't be able to help Ravens fans. Both fan bases were in shambles this week.
I'm all right with it. I don't know. I'm all right with it. I'm like, I must be like, I'm cool. I ain't gonna lie. Like the little Ben Johnson stance was like annoying the F out of me. So I'm cool with it. I don't even give a I'm about to curse again. I don't even care because the Ben Johnson stands. I was like, y'all treat this dude like he's Jesus. So I'm sorry, Jesus. But he treating him like he's Jesus. I'm just saying.
I see y'all. All right. Let me get back now.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, I heard about y'all.
Let's do
it. All right.
See y'all. All right, see you. All right, man. Well, we jumping
right in. Hey, everybody who spoke to me, I didn't want to cut into Candy's time.
No, you cool. Nah, you're cool. It's Buoy TV fam, so we out here. We out here.
We outside.
Check out Double Take Sports too, by the way. You gotta make a plug, Karita. Go out there, get on that website, order her merch.
Make sure you check out Double Take Sports. That is my sports media platform. We also cover NFL in general, NBA, specifically the Wizards and the Mystics. So tap in over there too.
All right, let me give her correct introduction, right? Jeezy, you want to do it, right? You want to do her correct? Actually, you're supposed to do it, not me anyway.
All right, for many Commander fans, the coaches' search has been disappointing, as Candy just so eloquently put out there for everybody. Just like that, the Ravens fans with their teams playing against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. We are now joined by the founder of Double Take Sports, Buoy TV, Baltimore Ravens reporter Karita Parks. She's now on the show, guys.
Yeah, there you go. Now I feel better, right? Thank you.
Karita, I saw you had a little troll on X that was saying, hey, aren't you a Ravens fan? Like, you sold it that well covering the team this year. You did such a great job that people thought you was a fan. But how disappointing was that 17-10 loss? And in your opinion, covering this team all season, what was the main reason that team had that outcome?
Man, it was disappointing because hosting an AFC championship in your city is not easy. And it really felt like when that game was over, it just felt like the Ravens should have won that game. We all know defense came out a little shaky at first, but they adjusted at halftime. And they shut Kansas City out the second half. All the Ravens needed to do was score at least 14 points. That doesn't seem like a lot to me. But when you ask, yes, exactly, as the Not Bland Show is saying, I was getting there. Ty Monken, he played to the strengths of Kansas City, which is super odd to me, right? So I was looking at the stats because there was just like a lot of stats that stood out to me about this game in general. First of all, the Ravens are known for running the ball. They're known for being a physical football team. Yes, they pass. They do a lot of play action passes, some downfield passes, etc. But the run game is a big part of their game plan and has been all season, each and every Sunday. But in the AFC Championship, they got away from the run game. And that hurt them, as well as Lamar Jackson. He didn't play like Lamar, in my opinion. He wasn't scrambling as much. He was holding onto the ball for too long. I mean, there was just an array of things that was so different than what I have seen from them all season. So stat-wise, the Kansas City Chiefs are 22nd versus the run. Yet, we're not running a lot. But they're fourth best against the pass. So we're passing the ball more against a team that defends passing very well. That just doesn't make sense, especially when your strength is running. And then they're fifth worst against design quarterback runs and scrambles. You got Lamar Jackson, who wasn't doing much of that either. Also, something that bothered me is when it came to their personnel, it just didn't feel like they were utilizing offensively, because the offensive game plan is the one that I, you know, like I said, defense got it together, but offensively, they just were not getting it done. Odell, you have Odell Beckham Jr. You brought him in for this reason. You brought him in for a playoff run. Yeah. They saved him in the first part of the season. He was hurt and he was trying to push through it. And they were like, no, we got the play. Like, their goal was the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. That Odell, he had six targets, but a majority of those targets came late in the fourth quarter when they were trying to make a comeback. Zay Flowers had 115 yards total. The rest of the receivers didn't even crack 50 yards. Uh-huh. So there was just a lot offensively that wasn't clicking. Todd Monken had been gotten really good at adjusting at halftime. Uh-huh. I didn't see that in the AFC Championship game.
Carita, Washington wants to establish a culture that Baltimore has. Fast. We all know that Baltimore has a great culture. Yeah, and
awesome.
It's a winning culture. Yeah. Even though maybe they don't win a Super Bowl every year, they're competing.
They always compete.
We all know this. So with that being said, now you have a new defensive coordinator with somebody, David Burns, asking you about Zach Orr. What do you think about that? And then Mike McDonald exiting. What's your thoughts on it? Is this team going to miss a beat considering the culture that's been created by many great people, including Harbaugh, including Ozzie Newsome and others who have just had a hand in this over the course of the last two decades?
You know, it's interesting because I, you know, when I think about it, that is the reason why I feel like they'll definitely still be able to bounce back, because throughout the years, they've had turnover, they've had change, coaching changes, front office changes. But one thing that has remained the same is the culture that they have there. And so even with those changes, even though they've still been competitive, and the times when they weren't as competitive, it's because Lamar Jackson was hurt. But even with not having the personnel that they had this particular season, they were still able to compete. So that does make me feel like they'll be able to compete next season. I still have to see what they do in free agency and draft. I think that's definitely going to be pivotal because they have over 20 free agents. So this is going to be an extremely different looking team next season. But I still think that they'll remain competitive because that's just the culture that has been built around that facility.
I do like what's up. I do want to mention what Barbershop Sports Talk podcast mentioned. Because when they signed Dalvin Cook, I thought he was going to probably get a bunch of carries. What was up with that? Why wasn't he showcased? Is he like done, or why wasn't he showcased?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that because that was my impression as well, especially the timing.
Yeah, exactly.
You signed him. It worked out where you were able to sign him to the practice squad right before the playoff, before the divisional round. He got some carries in the divisional round, and I was like, okay, they're going to amp that up in the AFC Championship game, and they didn't. And that's my other thing. When they were trying to get the run game going and it just wasn't working out, why not throw Dalvin Cook in there and see what he can do? Mm. There was just not a lot of adjustments on the offense, and it's kind of sad, especially because of all the weapons that they had, signing Dalvin Cook and just all of that.
Real quick, Carita, I want to say this. Was it a slap in the face to Justice Hill when you signed Dalvin Cook? Like, hold up. I've been holding you down all season, out the backfield, in the passing game. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dalvin Cook, definitely, you can add him to you. He wanted to try to win a championship. That was the whole point of him choosing the Ravens and them having mutual interest. But I felt like Justice Hill was formidable. I think Lamar missed him a few times in that game. Yeah. Just give me real quick what your thoughts on that.
Well, that crossed my mind, not just for Justice Hill, but Gus Edwards. Both of them have been holding the team down all season. So it crossed my mind. Harbaugh said that they brought in Dalvin Cook for insurance. And the way that he utilized Dalvin Cook in the divisional round, I felt like he leaned on Justice Hill and Gus Edwards for the majority of the game. So I was like, okay, I like that because he's not moving away from what's been working all season. But I will say in the little, because they only used him one game. But what I will say is based on using him in that one game, I could definitely see how the signing would make them feel that way. But the way he was used, I think Harbaugh showed that he was still dedicated to Justice Hill and Gus Edwards.
Burgundy and Gold for Life, hang around for me, bro. I'm gonna get to those comments that you made about culture because you're not wrong. I wonder how old you are. Don't put it out there, but you remember the Washington from yesteryear, like I do when I was growing up. So Taj, I like what you're saying, bro.
I do agree with something Taj put out there though. I do like this one. So Karina, so I find it interesting that Weaver wasn't promoted to DC. Your thoughts?
So my understanding is that with Zach Orr, he's a young defensive mind. He's risen quite a bit throughout throughout his time with the Ravens. And so it was funny because I was one of those people who was like, well, maybe they'll promote Anthony Weaver, but uh-huh. Zach Orr's name had always been in the mix. So I think that they just wanted to go the route of a young new mind. They say he's a former player. That's the first former player that they've hired. Uh-huh. He was the inside linebacker coach. So, and he had, that's Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith, who were playing like some dogs. Like, yes. Anybody on that defense was dogs. It was them. So that is, uh-huh. you know, what he was responsible for. So I just think that they were looking for something different, quite frankly. Uh-huh. They were really excited about him. And I do think it has to do with like just youth, and if you see them, they have some behind the scenes footage mm-hmm. that they. I am curious where Weaver is going though, because
yeah, I'm about to say yeah.
Side note, but anyway, yeah, Zach Orr was a name that was always in the mix.
So he's always been like highly talented within.
Yes, within and he's worked his way up.
Okay.
Within that organization, so yes.
I want to merge these topics real quick if we can with Karina and kind of land a plane too, because Karina, in this area, I saw a whole lot of Ravens coverage.
Me too, as well.
As that AFC Championship game got closer and closer, and I'm like, the Commanders are starting to lose some luster around here, and they're going to be very careful.
We're
talking about comparing cultures and all. What is your take on how Commander Nation sort of jumped on the Ravens bandwagon in ways? Not all. Don't jump on me.
It wasn't that thorough. It wasn't that thorough. Now you're going ham. You're going ham now. Like, it wasn't that bad. It was more local.
Maybe I should rephrase.
But yeah, it was more local coverage. It was like the little local coverage folks doing that joint. But go ahead.
Okay. That's enough, though.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't fans.
How many media folks did you see, Karina, in that press room?
Listen, I'm gonna keep it all the way real. As someone who has been there all season,
some local folks
who is running back and forth week in and week out to cover these games, and then suddenly I see some of the Commanders media that used to
hold you, Commanders media. So I say it, I'm keeping it real, not the fans.
Up and suddenly everybody wants to apply for credentials and
Ray, you know this, Ray. You know the story, Ray.
I'm just keeping it real. Because, and this is not just for me, this is for all of the Ravens media. We worked hard all season long, and it was a long season. When you go to the AFC Championship, it's a long season, and we've been working hard. And then some people just pop on up, like, pop all up in there.
No, with you, Ray. It sounds like you and Howard with Howard last year.
Now they're gone.
Now they go, right? Now they go.
But I could be completely wrong, but I don't see the Ravens media hopping over like when the, because we know
they don't do that.
The Commanders are gonna, you know, they'll bounce back at some point. I don't think we'll see the same thing.
Nah, they won't. They didn't do that when they went into the playoffs. They don't do this stuff like that. The Ravens don't do this stuff like that. So I think it's because a lot of local media is not originally from here or under 30. Good point.
Nice. Yeah. The ones I saw weren't under 30.
They were older?
Not the ones. The ones I saw was not over 30.
Okay. Oh, hey, Karina, play hypothetical with me. Play hypothetical with me real quick. I don't want to be a broken record because this can't happen now. And I understand that. But can you imagine if Washington does everything they can? They hire Jim, you got both Harbaugh brothers. The buzz that would have created amongst the media, amongst the fans, it would have been so dope. Yeah. They
that dropped
the
ball. You saw that crowd? Jim ain't coming here. Jim wasn't coming here. Go ahead, Dover.
He was coming here, but it definitely would have been big. You know, the battle of the Beltway would have, and then, well, they played the Chargers next season, but the Commanders, they also played the Commanders next season. So that game would have been crazy.
Dan Quinn versus Quinn.
I respect Jim for giving John his space.
His face, man. He wasn't coming here, man. He liked LA. That boy.
I get it. That's why I said it wasn't going to happen. But again, you got to make an offer. You got at least the Falcons. My Falcons interviewed him anyway twice. By the way,
they was going to try because he didn't want to come here, bro. He won't come here.
Yeah, all right. Like a lot.
He want more control.
I will say this. I think it shows that even though the Commanders have, I know we're talking Ravens, but even though the Commanders have new leadership, this is my PR size.
Go ahead.
It's going to take time,
of course,
for people to trust them as an organization and as a franchise. So even though there's a new leadership group, they're still going to have to show. And it's not even about winning. It is about winning, but they're still going to have to show that they're
trusted,
etc. So
yeah, no, I'm with.
I got
that.
One more question.
That happens. I don't think it'll be a highly coveted job until that happens.
Karita, my last question to you is this. Can you feel the difference covering the Ravens, the culture difference? Can you, like, feel it? Can you feel, like, the winning difference? Because, like, you and I, you cover the Wizards. You know what losing looks like. And you also, when we covered the Mystics together, you felt the difference. Winning just feels different. Tell me how it feels.
What's wrong with you, dude? Like, what's wrong with you? Go ahead.
I mean, I will say at the end of the day, the organizations are just ran differently and they do have just different cultures. I mean, even if I think it starts from the top. For the Ravens, it starts from the top. It's like the front office, everyone that they put in place down. You know, every facet of that organization, they all are bought into what the Ravens are trying to do and the standard that they set for themselves.
I do have one question. I mean, this is pretty much like, obviously, I mean, going back into to the Ravens and the tough game they had against the Chiefs, but still, like, they've built something here. Ray has talked about it. We've talked about this a number of times on this podcast, even though we don't talk about the Ravens often, but we do talk about the culture and how it's a winning culture. But knowing, like, anything, when you have a loss like that, a game that you know, the expectations was this team to go to the Super Bowl. They didn't have their best game. Do you feel like next season they're able to bounce back, especially if a player like Zay Flowers, who a lot of the fan base was kind of like, hey, you cost us the reason why we're not making it to the Super Bowl or things like that. Yeah, there's a lot of, and even his taunting. A lot of people, like, I've seen this on social media, like, folks are kind of going at Zay. Are they still in prime shape to kind of give back and, you know, maybe avenge what happened this season?
I feel like they definitely can bounce back next season. But as I said earlier, getting to the AFC Championship, it's tough. And next season, you might have a healthy Joe Burrow. You might have a healthy Deshaun Watson, which you did not have this year. Who knows what the Steelers are going to look like? It could just all – everything could just be different in the division. And that plays into it as well. Quite frankly, I felt like this roster this year was built to win it all. Right? We'll see who they can retain. We'll see who they get in the draft and free agency. I think they'll still have a winning culture. I still think that they will win. I even think that they have the ability to go to the playoffs. It's just, can they make it back to the AFC Championship? And I don't think that that's a matter of the team won't be equipped. Mm-hmm. But like I said, every season in the NFL is different.
Facts. So we had this we had a poll about that same question. 60% said no. In terms of bouncing back, 40% said yes, they'll bounce back. I'm with you, Kareem. I think it's hard to me. It's hard to get to the Super Bowl. It's hard to get to the AFC Championship game, like you said. But I think to next year they'll be a playoff team. I think it's all predicated also on who they bring back. You know, they're gonna lose like not gonna lose, but Queen is a free agent.
A lot of people.
Yeah, Queen's a free agent, and I feel like he's a must resign.
They have over 20 free agents. Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Stone, who was leading.
Clowney, too, right? Clowney.
Van Noy. Yeah. Nelson Aguilar, OBJ. I mean, they signed a lot of guys to 1 year. And then plus the guys who were just going to be free agents.
Yeah, OBJ coming back. His daddy messing him up. He ain't coming back.
That's a fake. That's a fake.
That's a fake account? Thank you, because I didn't pay attention. I was like.
This cannot be his father.
That's not dead. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I saw one that was more in line.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I was like, thank you. I glanced. I was like, is daddy talking again?
I don't think a lot of people realize that. So.
Right. Thank you. I was about to say, is daddy out here? His daddy stay outside.
I'm just glad you joined us, Karita, because you witnessed Mahomes beat Lamar in the cold. Light skin still wins. Role, I'm sorry. I just had to reference.
No, we're back on light skin stuff. It circles back.
Kansas City didn't win that game. The Ravens lost it. They beat
so a dark skin dude lost. So actually, a dark skin dude lost the game.
Uh-huh. No.
But you know what, though?
Alaska didn't win.
They created like a blueprint.
You mentioned Zay Flowers, though. I feel like Zay, Lamar, all of them, I mean, I think that this is going to sting. I think they'll be even better next year. And unfortunately, Zay had to learn a hard lesson. Like, you can't taunt in a championship. Yeah, man, you can't taunt, period, especially in a championship game. And he didn't do that all year. He was not penalized.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah.
This year for, like, taunting or anything like that. But so... anyway, I think it's a hard lesson to learn, but I think it will make them better. But we just got to see what pieces they have around them next year, because it's going to be different.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be cool. I think Zay will learn from it. He's a talented dude. So he's a talented young dude. So
yeah, sure.
Learn from it. And Lamar, I mean, Lamar's one of my favorite quarterbacks. I think Lamar is just one of... he's just a good dude from a distance. It seems like he is.
I was like, he really... comes across like his mom raised a really good young man. Yeah,
facts. I totally agree. All right, well, Karita, before we let you go, man, how can folks catch your content and also follow you on social media?
Yes, make sure you follow me on social media at Karita C. Parks. You can also follow Double Take Sports, which, once again, if you missed the beginning, is my sports media platform. That's at DBL Take Sports on all social media platforms. Also, it's www.dbltakesports.com. If you want to go there to read some articles and see what's happening, and let's see, this is football, but also I'll plug my Wizards articles are on there as well. I also still write for si.com inside the Wizards. So yeah,
plug it out. Well, Karita, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
And look, go Ravens. Commander fans are probably
until y'all feel good about the Commanders. This is gonna be
I'm cool. I mean, look, I'm not one of them folks. I chill the Baltimore, so be more cool with me.
I guess we're just as bad, huh?
What? Who rate us?
Nah, it's all good. Listen,
he does chill in Baltimore.
I chill in Baltimore, man. I'm for the people, man. Real talk. You know what I'm saying? I don't discriminate. I'm for the people. So, big ups to you, though. Big ups to your covers, though. Big ups to your work. Keep it going. Thank you so much.
You can catch me at Super Bowl follow me at Karita C. Parks on Twitter. See all my Super Bowl coverage.
I'll be fried. I don't even know. But go ahead, though.
Gotta love Taj, man. Taj always keep it a buck, man. I love Taj.
Flock is near the Capitol anyway. Yeah, it's true.
Hey, y'all disrespectful out there tonight, bro. I love it. I'm here for it. I love it.
All right. Well, thank you, Karita. You all right. Take it easy. All right. Stay blessed. All right. Yeah, man. Today's been popping, man. Jesus Christ. There's a lot going on, man. Go Commanders, man.
And the chat, I know we couldn't get to everything.
Yeah, we
could.
One thing
I love about my man Lou and Kiki, they always at the very end of their show, they go through the chat and they see what they didn't address, what they missed. They give folks shout outs. So
We're gonna do a separate draft show. Do it. Go ahead. Shoot them out, right? Shout them out, man. Go for it.
That's a lot. Yeah, because you don't feel like doing it, but it's all good.
I doubt you're right. Go for it.
Hey, shout out to Taj, my man. Of course, George, Chris was just checking in. Burgundy, go for life. You remember back in the day, when the Washington Redskins had that culture. And I love it because I've referenced many times on this show the Barry Sanders documentary when he said Washington was a class of league.
Oh, man, it was it, man. It was.
I'm looking like, dang, man, how far they fallen. Mm-hmm. So you bringing that back up and talking about how Baltimore took that blueprint and they're succeeding with it.
Oh, man,
you said that the Commanders need to get back to the Redskin way. And I love that, bro. I appreciate you.
That means they got to draft the offensive lineman in. Go ahead, though. Sorry.
Paul 650, shout out to him.
My man, Paul.
Of course, Taj Wilson, if I ain't always shout out.
Yeah, Taj is dope, man. He's always dope, man. Taj.
Dujanae came through. Dujanae plugged us at the end of his show earlier because he had like kind of breaking news show on the Not So Bland show. Check him out on Sports Journey. He had Lake Lewis on with him. Lake Lewis, of course, a friend of the show. Of course, Light Skin Lou, Justin Lowe. Who else am I missing? Urban Sports even made some comments. Might as well Lake Barbershop Sports Talk Podcast.
I was laughing at comments, though. I was laughing. That's
David Burns. Hey, so many folks checked in tonight, man. We appreciate you. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a long season. Stay with us because DQ, the era is started now. I personally like him.
I like DQ.
All agree that the whole search wasn't necessary to hire DQ, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It doesn't. I mean, we can be critical.
D-Fox is dope. That's your man. Eric Jessup. Did I miss anybody? I think I got everybody.
I think you got everybody.
And of course, thanks Candy and Karita for joining us. Yeah, exactly. Friends and family of the show.
And also, like, let's see how easy it is to know how we won here. 2 seconds. I know how we won here, man. You know what I'm saying? I know how he won here. It's all about that's why I want to get the offensive lineman for real. But nobody wants that. So you know what I'm saying? We win in the trenches. That's how Washington wins, but we're not going to do it. So
hey, before we jump off though, throw in the chat. Which quarterback do you want? It's coming down to Daniels or May. Which one do you want? Throw it in there real quick. We're gonna do an impromptu poll because I like both. And I feel like Atlanta's gonna get whoever Washington doesn't get unless
it depends on the coach. It depends on the coach. Oh, dang, Reagan went off. It depends on the coach. The offensive coach.
Hey, Paul, thanks, brother. Coach. Appreciate you.
But if it's like all right, so I heard Chip Kelly, like I'm hearing that he's gonna get the job, but if it's Chip Kelly, it's definitely Daniel. It's definitely gonna be Daniel. That's Chip Kelly's. That's a Chip Kelly quarterback.
Jaden Daniels is he's a freak. He is awesome.
But that's a Chip Kelly quarter. Like if Chip Kelly, if they're gonna, and I don't want Chip Kelly, so I'm just putting that out. I don't want Chip Kelly, but if they get Chip Kelly, it ain't gonna be Drake May. That's a guarantee.
You like Belichick. Belichick went on record as saying that Chip Kelly is an offensive genius, if not the best offensive mind he knows.
I didn't like it in the NFL. I'm not in for his NFL. It don't work in the NFL. Like that style, right? Race, it hurts your defense.
EB's under contract for 2024, so it's interesting what they do with him.
I mean, I feel like, but my favorite quarterback in terms of the playing the position is May. I think May is it.
I don't think you can go wrong, but you can't miss though. You cannot miss.
I think May. Yeah, I think May is a guy like he's very comparable to Justin Herbert. If you like Justin Herbert a lot, then I feel like you get May.
Hmm.
Paul just loved to do the Michigan trash. So I don't know why you keep we trashed him. He a second rounder. You want him, but he ain't him. All right, we trashed that dude. All right. Michael Peel. Is that
See, you said Jaden Daniels too. That's me and Glenn. That's a whole nother show, bro. So far we got a little more Jaden Daniels than we do May.
Oh,
so
I said
far,
that's not. No.
Paul, Dujanae said Jaden Daniels.
Paul, that's is that Milton, Paul? You like Milton? You said Milton? You like
Milton? He said Michigan cheating, bro.
We cheating. Nah, we beat that ass. That's what we did. They suck. Beat that ass. We exposed Joe May. That's what we did. We exposed that dude, man. We exposed that dude. Bo Nix is like 80 years old, man. I don't want Bo. He's like 80 years old, man. I ain't no Bo Nix. He's like 80 years old, man. No, I went over.
Hey, stop it, bro. Because Corm the same age.
Who? Blake Corm?
The running back.
I didn't say Corm should be a starter. I didn't say Corm ain't playing quarterback.
You got it.
And plus, Corm ain't playing quarterback. That's different. running backs die off in like 3 years, bro. What are we talking here?
He a grown man. It's a lot of grown men out there playing college
football. Bro. Marvin. I like that. Oh, you said Marvin. Oh, you know that. It's Marvin. Paul, I'm sorry. Nick, Paul, now we're talking PTSD. Speed, Paul. Paul, I apologize. You're in my lane again. Yes. Marvin special.
He wasn't talking about Penix. You thought he talking about Penix?
I thought so, because we always talk about Penix.
No, he's talking about Marvin Harrison.
Yeah. Paul, I apologize. I'm sorry. I apologize. You know what I'm saying?
I love
it. The sad 3 years. So, yeah, man. This has been cool, man. Everybody was shooting the breeze, rapping. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, appreciate y'all for checking
appreciate
in.
Appreciate the love, man. For real
hey,
talk.
Hey, listen, next week is going to be dope. Whether I'm here or not is another question, but it's going to be dope. Trust me. Preparing for the Super Bowl, check in with us.
Yeah, we schedule, I can say it, you know what I'm saying? We trying to schedule get Bashar Breeland next week. He played against Kyle Shanahan, the same two teams playing Super Bowl. He was on that team. He had an interception in that game. So, yeah, we planning to tentatively, he's agreed. So, we're going to have Bashar Breeland on the show. We're going to talk about what to expect from a Kyle Shanahan defense and what he aimed, what he looked for while he played in that same Super Bowl. So yeah, man. Sweet. We out here working, man. We out here working. Anyway, we're gonna close the show out. Hey, before we close this show out, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports and YouTube channel. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the red subscribe button and like this video that you're watching. Also, check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Ampire Media, at ampiremedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ampire shows as well as other great content. Anyway, man, appreciate everybody from tuning in. We do appreciate the love.
You,
right, hands down, we do appreciate the love. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports saying, for Aijas, you dig? Deuces, we are out. Again, we appreciate y'all. Much love.